We welcome in Dan Rosen from NHL.com. Dan, last night at Game 1, did you happen to see that rogue Predators fan who threw the catfish on the ice?
I did not. I did not see the fan, but I'm still trying to figure it out. I mean, I understand, you know, the tradition that they're building in Nashville, but again, this isn't in Nashville. That guy, he's a Predators fan. He came all the way here. He paid a lot of money to get in the building, somehow brings a catfish in through this unbelievable way. I can't even describe how he did it, and throws it on the ice. By the way, it was a heck of a throw. Let's give him that. Heck of a toss. I mean, it gets to center ice almost. And just to get himself kicked out and arrested and charged, look, I'm all for, you know, fanatics. I'm all for people being crazy at sporting events and going nuts and, you know, embracing traditions and all these things. Mm-hmm. But to me, that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But that's me.
Sports fans are a strange brew, Dan. You know what else doesn't make a lot of sense? A team's only shooting the puck 12 times and still getting a 5-3 victory.
Gave you a segue there, didn't I?
Yes, well done. Was last night's 12 shots, was that more about the Pittsburgh Penguins or more about the Nashville Predators last night?
I think it was a combination. One, the Penguins lacked some energy. They didn't have the passion that you normally see. They weren't skating well. They weren't playing their game. Let's put it that way. They were not playing their game. And it looked worse because Nashville is very good when it's just very good in general. And their defensemen push up the ice. They pressure. They make it hard on you to skate the puck through the neutral zone. And if you dump the puck in, or don't connect the pass to get through, and you try to dump the puck in, you give it a Pekarinen a chance to make a play. He's going to make a play with the puck too because he's very good at it. So I think it's a combination. The Penguins didn't have their game. They weren't crisp. They were slow, lacked energy. And then you combine that with what Nashville was able to do defensively in Pekarinen, it makes for a real tough night in terms of generating zone time, generating possession, and generating shots on goal.
The Penguins got to be very happy that they're able to take Game 1 without playing their best effort. But how are the Predators feeling the day after? You know, they had a chance to steal Game 1 on the road and take back home ice advantage. How are the Nashville Predators feeling the day after Game 1?
I mean, I think they're okay. They have to take it like they were a little bit unlucky. And you know what? In this game, you make your own luck is what they say, right? But so go out and make your own luck in Game 2. And you do that, you're right back in the series. You've gotten the split any road team wants. Peter Laviolette's mentioned it a few times, and now it's just harder for them to win 4 games, but it's not impossible. It's only 1 game, and I don't think they're overreacting to this. I don't think that they're going to go and melt down because of this. I thought they had a letdown when P.K. Subban's goal came off the board because of the offside challenge that was successful by Pittsburgh. They had a letdown. The third goal is just, I mean, that's just unlucky. That is just incredibly unlucky. The James Neal penalty was unnecessary. I understand why the official called the penalty on Cali Yarncroc for interference on Patrick Hornquist just seconds before the Neal cross-check on Daly. But again, that was a little bit unlucky too because it definitely looked like Hornquist was falling down. But still, you're in a 5-on-3. And they were defending that 5-on-3 well. And then Rene allows a goal off his glove. Probably should have had that one. The third goal, like I said, was just very unlucky. They had a little bit of a letdown, but they came back. They played strong. The Penguins didn't give them much either. Let's not forget that. But they still managed to connect on the power play. They scored 3 goals. They got a lot to look at and say, look, guys, we were right there. Let's just play a better game in Game 2, and we should be fine.
We're joined by Dan Rosen from NHL.com, taking a look at Game 1 of the Cup Final. Went last night. The Penguins lead the series 1-0. Dan, you've covered the NHL a long time. You've seen Sidney Crosby enter the league from a youngster to now. He's going to turn 30 this offseason. What are some of the changes you've noticed in Sid, both on the ice and off the ice, in the last 12 years in the NHL?
Well, I'm going to look at the last 2 years. And I think the last 2 years, really since Mike Sullivan came on board, and I give Sullivan a lot of credit for this, but you got to give Sidney Crosby a lot of credit for this too. He plays. He doesn't talk to the refs. He doesn't come back, you know, and splash you back at something. He doesn't get into the post-whistle stuff. He just plays. He just plays his game. He skates away. He's much more composed. He's much more mentally focused and mentally tough. And as a result, he's that much of a better player. And the Penguins, more importantly, are that much of a better team. They follow his cues. Let's not let's not kid ourselves. I mean, they follow what Sidney Crosby does. And when Sidney Crosby was flying off the handle a little bit, and as some people were saying, whining, whatever you want to say, trying to beg for a call here, there, and whatever, you know, losing his cool, losing his temper. I think back to that series against Philadelphia a couple of years ago was a perfect example of that. The Penguins followed that. Now he doesn't do that, and you see this is a team that they're very much whistle to whistle. They're very composed. They're resilient. And I think a lot of that has to do with Sidney Crosby. Most of that has to do with Sidney Crosby just mentally growing. And it's not to say that it was a bad thing the way he was beforehand. He's just way better at it now.
Dan, like, clearly he wants to win the Stanley Cup, but how much would it mean for Sidney Crosby to become the first back-to-back salary cap era Stanley Cup champion? That's something that Jonathan Toews hasn't done, Patrick Kane, some of the Hawks, the Kings, a lot of players haven't done. What would that mean to Sidney?
Well, I think it just adds to his legacy that's already growing and already tremendous, and it would be just another notch for him that would be tremendous. And it's also something that, personally, I think it would matter as much to have that extra one more Stanley Cup championship than Mario Lemieux. He won't say it, but I bet you that helps drive him. Every great athlete has a competitive drive to want to be the best wherever they are. And I'm not saying another Stanley Cup would make Sidney Crosby a better player than Mario Lemieux, but it makes him a better champion than Mario Lemieux because he would have three and Lemieux would have two as a player. Can't argue that. And I do think they're – look, he's driven to win. I mean, the guy just loves winning. He wants to win. He's doing everything he possibly can to do that. And winning another Stanley Cup, being a back-to-back champion, it would just add to an already Hall of Fame legacy. I mean, this guy was a Hall of Famer 5 years ago. He's just now adding to his resume.
Joined by Dan Rosen from NHL.com, Mark Mahjouan for Jason Greger. We're recapping game one of the Cup Final, Dan. Chris Letang hasn't played since, I believe, February 21st for the Penguins. He met with the media today in Pittsburgh. Did you learn anything from that press conference with Chris Letang?
Yeah, no, I mean, a couple of things. One, I mean, he's not coming back, right? Let's stop that. Let's not have that thought right there. He's not coming back, but he's progressing very well in his recovery, he said. He is going to have an appointment in a couple of weeks to hopefully get cleared fully to skate. He said he's put on a skate a few times, even though the doctors have told him not to do that. He has begun off-ice workouts. So personally for Chris Letang and in his recovery, everything looks good, according to him, and so that's good. And the other thing that we've learned here in Pittsburgh is that he's very much involved. You see him around, media-wise, we see him around a lot, but he's very involved in with the coaches and going over certain things about the game, especially working with Sergei Gonchar, working with the defensemen. He's involved in that way. He talks one-on-one with some of his teammates about the game. He's almost acting like a very highly paid player coach who's not able to play, obviously. And so he's around. He's very involved. They want him to be around. And he's progressing well at his recovery. It's good news, obviously. They would love to have him on the ice, but it's good news that he's around at least and progressing well.
Dan, I know you're in the middle of covering the Stanley Cup Final, but a bizarre kind of story, or I guess beginning of a story, surfaced out of Washington, D.C. today. The Washington Capitals wouldn't possibly ever trade Alexander Ovechkin, would they?
I don't know. After hearing what Brian McClellan said today, I'm not 100% sure. Look, I mean, here's the thing. I think any general manager paints themselves into a corner where they can't back out of if they say, never, I will never trade this player. Because everybody can be had for the right price. And you paint yourself into a really tough corner by saying never. And I remember, I think Joe Sakic did this year where he said, you know, Nathan MacKinnon is off limits. Well, what if the Pittsburgh Penguins said, we want him so bad, here's Evgeny Malkin. He's not off limits anymore, right? So you can't say that, I think, if you're a GM. So he's right to say, if a hockey deal came along, it would have to be something they would look at. Now, would Ted Leonsis ever want to trade him? That would be another story. So maybe that puts the kibosh on it, but certainly it's something a GM can't or shouldn't say never, because never, never means never if the right hockey deal comes along. That being said, it's going to create a ton of hot takes that already has, and I don't see him going anywhere anytime soon.
And one more on the Capitals. They said they're not going to make any changes with the coaching staff. Barry Trotz through 2 years there. Does that surprise you that the Capitals are kind of standing pat?
It doesn't surprise me that they're standing pat. What surprises me is that they haven't extended Barry Trotz.
Okay.
By that. If they say they're standing pat, then to me, you have to extend Barry Trotz. He's entering the last year of his contract, and that's very unfriendly territory for a coach and his players to know that. A coach to know that he's in the last year of his deal without an extension, and his players understand that too. So that's a real dangerous territory for me. I would look to extend him. Maybe they do. Brian McClellan didn't rule that out, but maybe they do extend it, but I would get that done. If you're going to keep him as your coach, give him an extension. Give him a 2-year extension. And go with it from there. And if you want to fire him after the middle of the season, then you fire him and he's your coach for 2 years. But Barry Trotz is going to get a job next year or very quickly, and you won't have to pay him very soon after that.
We'll close on this one, Dan. Again, I know you're in the middle of the Cup final, but there's expansion to talk about as they announced that the protected list will be released on June 18th. There's reports that the first Vegas trade could maybe come next week. Do you expect the Golden Knights to be very active before the expansion draft?
I think there's going to be a lot of chatter. I think that, you're going to have George McPhee's phone is going to be ringing off the hook, and he's going to be making a lot of phone calls. How active that actually makes them, I think it's very hard to predict. But I think there's going to be a lot of chatter, a lot of rumors, a lot of discussion, and we'll see where it goes. I think there will be some trades. I do. How many is a lot? I don't know.
Dan, thanks for this. Enjoy your day off and enjoy game 2 tomorrow in Pittsburgh.
All right, man. Take care.
Dan Rosen from NHL.com.